Genesis 3:15, God makes this declaration. He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This was an ancient prophecy. Years and years went by, and that prophecy was left unfulfilled. God spoke this prophecy on one of the hardest days in the history of man. Adam had transgressed God's law. Death had been introduced. Relationship with God had been severed. Marital conflict had begun, which would eventually lead to family conflict and torn and ravaged relationships down through history, resulting from that moment. And yet God gave an ancient prophecy in the midst of messy relationships, in the midst of rebellion toward God, in the midst of blame shifting and blaming everybody else except for taking personal responsibility, God stepped in and provided good news. The question was, when shall the one that fulfills this prophecy at the beginning of the Bible, when will he arrive to overcome evil and be the Savior of the world? And we see from the time of Adam to the time of Abraham that God said that there will be a seed of promise that will come into this world. That was many years later. And then we get over to David and his prophecy. He had expanded the nation of Israel and expanded her borders, had built up her wealth and united the nation. And God came to him and said, you shall have a son that will inherit the throne that you have, and his kingdom shall never come to an end. But yet 1,000 more years would go by. But you know that what God has promised has always come to pass. The Lord Jesus was promised here in Genesis 3:15. And as we turn here to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 26, I want you to see God in His glory announcing this good news in a very humble way. You see, God continues to back up His Word. And God continues to announce His coming in a very humble way to transform lives. And I encourage you to hear what God has to say, because He came in, as we'll look at here in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. God had backed up His promise for the first coming of the Son of God, and He has also promised, in ancient prophecies, He has also promised that He is going to come again. And I want you to see that the people needed to be prepared. But He comes in a very humble manner. Let's begin reading in verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Praise the name of the Lord, that he sent down such a message. But not only did he send down such a message, he sent down the Savior of the world. As we look at this passage this morning and we see the birth of the Savior foretold, I want us to understand this. God works in the humblest of places to accomplish his purposes. We see that God sent a message to this little bitty village called Nazareth to a young virgin girl that had a heart that was prepared for what God wanted to do in her life. We secondly see in this passage that Gabriel announces the birth of the Son of God. That may seem very simple to you today, but I'll tell you, that is the greatest news this world has ever heard, that a Savior has been willing to step down. Because if he did not step down from heaven, you and I had no opportunity to save ourselves, and we would be hell-bound sinners throughout all of eternity. That's where we would be if God, in his great mercy, did not send a deliverer unto us. We see also in this that Mary asked a really good question, and it's very revealing. She asked a question. She says, How shall this be, considering I know not a man? The virgin birth is vital for our redemption. And I'll share that with you in just a minute. Because if she had not been a virgin, and there was some possibility that the child that was born in her could have inherited the sin nature of Adam, then once again, that ancient prophecy that God made, there would not have been one that could have crushed the head of the serpent and put down evil once again. And for all. Every single aspect of this story has significance, and we need to understand it, and we need to praise God for what He has revealed to us. This is a common story. You're often hearing it every Christmas, but I'll tell you, this is an uncommon story. This is a holy story. Our stories are very common because we have similar features. Every one of us were born into this world. Every one of us will live and work and serve and do different things, and we will eventually die because of our sins. But this one that came into the world right here, unless he laid down his life voluntarily, he would have never died, because he had no sin in and of himself. And praise his name for being such a Savior. We also see here that Gabriel explains the conception of the Son of God. So Luke begins to reveal to us this announcement. And it tells here in verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. The sixth month of what? Elizabeth had been pregnant with John the Baptist for 6 months. She had hid herself. And now it's the sixth month. Now this is an extra month later. And God dispatches one of his supernatural beings, an angel named Gabriel. Now, Gabriel, and there's only two angels mentioned in the Bible. One is Gabriel and the other is Michael. And Gabriel had been sent down from heaven before with an announcement. And he had been sent to a man by the name of Daniel. And he had revealed to Daniel in the prophecy a picture of the rising up of the Greek Empire. And particularly the horn of that empire, which was Alexander the Great. God was able to tell Daniel what was going to happen even before it happened. I want you to know that God has revealed himself in such a way in the scriptures that he has already told us what is going to happen at the beginning of the story, the middle of the story, and the end of the story. And how in the world can he do such a thing? It is because he is God, he is sovereign, and he is seated on his throne, and he is the controller of history, and he is working all things according to the counsel of his own will. And so the best thing that we can do is to get in line with his will in our lives and serve him the best that we can and trust him for everything else, because he has the ability to take care of it all. Amen. We just need to make sure our hearts are where they need to be. And so this angel was dispatched from God unto a city of Galilee. Now, Jerusalem or Israel had three different sections of that nation. There was Judea down in the southern portion of it. There was Samaria, and that was in the middle portion. And then you had the Galilee region. And so the Galilee region was actually the region that was closer to the rest of the world. It was sometimes called the Galilee of the nations. And many times people looked down on the area of Galilee because they saw that the people of the nations were infiltrating the nation of Israel. And they didn't much like that. Many of them that lived down in Judea did not like Samaria either, because there were many Jews that had intermarried with other nations and they were called the Samaritans. That's why that Samaritan woman there that was at the well, the disciples were wondering, why are you talking, number one, to a Samaritan? And number two, why are you talking to a woman in the middle of the day? And Jesus had time to stop by. So this angel was dispatched to a very unlikely place. I thank God that he sent down his messages in very unlikely places. It tells us that he arrived in a little village called Nazareth. You and I would know nothing of Nazareth probably unless we knew of this news. Nazareth, it tells us as you study, that it was in the Roman province of Galilee. It was a little village where Joseph and Mary had lived. And it was so small and insignificant that it is not mentioned in the Old Testament or the Apocrypha or any intertestamental Jewish writings or even in the histories of Josephus. This is a small little bitty town. It was situated on a hill on three sides. This is where we get when Jesus preached his first sermon. They tried to drive him over the cliff. They tried to get rid of him because they realized what he was saying. He was saying that he was fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah. It was not on the trade routes. It was not even, there was some main roads over in the distance, but it was not even on a main road. If God was going to make an announcement that was going to have worldwide significance, you would think that God would have chosen Jerusalem or Rome or Alexandria, Egypt, some of these big, massive cities in the world. But I'll tell you, God is always using the weak things of the world to confound the wise. He often uses the foolish things of the world to overthrow the ones that are great in this world. I'll tell you, do not underestimate what God can do with you if you will just say, Lord, here I am. I don't know exactly how to handle this situation, but Lord, here's my heart. I'm willing to follow you. Here I am. I'll tell you, God can show up and God can show out in all kinds of places. You've just got to be willing to say, Lord, here I am. I didn't even know if I'd be able to preach this morning because I thought my voice was going out. But so I said, Lord, here I am. I'm just willing to be used of you. And I'll tell you, I'd rather be worn out in the will of God than rushed out and be concerned about all the cares of this world. And so we see Gabriel comes to this little bitty town. It is not even in the mainstream of Jewish life. I'm telling you, it's in the outskirts of the outskirts. And God sends an angel with a holy and a heavenly message to this little place called Nazareth. And he's got one person in mind. It says to a virgin, a spouse to a man whose name was Joseph. This was a humble girl. It says that she was a virgin. She had not known a man. She had maintained sexual purity throughout her life. I encourage you young people to maintain sexual purity throughout your life. Do not experiment with things that are precious and good in the eyes of the Lord that are meant for marriage. She was a spouse, and if you know the Jewish customs, this was a case where oftentimes there was a choice of a spouse, and so Mary's family had got together and Joseph's family had got together, and when they were to be betrothed, which was a legal declaration of marriage, but yet they had not gone through with the marriage ceremony at this time, there had already been the exchanging of gifts. When someone were to enter into that betrothal period, oftentimes there would be a gift that was given from the bridegroom to the family of the bride to show that I'm really serious about marrying this girl and I really want to serve and be a blessing to her. Oftentimes there was a gift to the bride or the groom from her father. And so there would be these exchanging of gifts. And then sometimes there would be the exchange of the gifts from the groom unto the bride. It could be jewelry or clothing or something of that to show that I am really looking forward to being married to you and to going through this wedding process. But often there was a space of time between the betrothal period and the actual wedding ceremony. And that is where Mary and Joseph are in this moment. It was a legally binding agreement already, and it would have to be broken by divorce if it were to be broken. And if it had been broken, I believe some of those gifts may have been had to be given back double fold to show that, hey, we're really sorry that this didn't work out. And so we see here that Mary was betrothed to Joseph here. And Joseph, I want you to think about his heart of service that he had. It tells us over in Matthew's gospel that he was a just man. He was a man that adhered to the law of God. He sought to seek God's will in his life and to do and live according to his plan. So God, just like Zechariah and Elizabeth, those were two individuals that had been walking with God for many years in their life. And I'll tell you, God rewarded their faithfulness. But two, he was going to reward the faithfulness of Mary and Joseph. They had kept themselves in the right way. I want you to know this morning, whether you're young or whether you're old, it is so important to walk in obedience with God because God will bless those situations. Even when Joseph got word that Mary was pregnant, he said, I'm going to put her away privately because he did not want to ruin her reputation because Joseph had a love in his heart. Amen. And so this message came to this young girl named Mary. God chose a small place to powerfully impact salvation history. He chose the humble young girl to serve Him in a mighty way. And God had been working on their character even at an early age to prepare them for this moment. As we look here, the announcement, I want you to consider in verse 28, the angel came into her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Can you imagine the startling moment when an angel shows up and says, "God has graced you. God has blessed you." Actually, think about this. God had you in mind when He made the first promise to Adam and Eve. God already looked down through the stages of time. This is not plan B or plan C with God. God has been orchestrating history from the very moment to this moment. And Gabriel shows up to this young virgin and says, "Hail, thou art highly favored among women. You have found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord." Why does God choose certain ones to do certain things? I don't know. And I don't understand. But I can tell you in Scriptures, why did God choose to save you or save me? Why did He come to some humble place with some humble preacher that delivered a humble message from God? And it was seemed like a foolishness, but I'll tell you, there was some power in that message that penetrated your heart and made you realize that I need this God that's here. I need someone to save me. I need someone to take that fear of death away. I need someone to take the shame of my sin and the weight of the guilt of my sin, and God just did it. Why did Noah find favor in the eyes of the Lord out of all the people? It says Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. God, if you've been saved, God has lavished His love on you, His unmerited free grace on you for no other prerogative than to display His free grace on you, because there was nothing in and of ourselves that deserves such grace and such mercy. And He shows up with this announcement. He says, "Behold, you shall conceive and bear forth a child." Verse 31. I want you to see this incredible announcement. You know, life begins at the point of conception. We need to stand on that. There was never a moment when Jesus lost personhood from the moment He stepped down from heaven to the moment that He was conceived. And I want you to notice this. This was a supernatural conception. This was a conception unlike all the others. Zachariah and Elizabeth, they knew one another, and there was a conception that took place. But there was a supernatural conception here. It says, "You shall bring forth a son." This was before the ultrasound. God had already announced that a boy would be born. And notice what He says. His name shall be called what? Jesus. Which means Jehovah saved. There is no sweeter name on the earth than the name of Jesus. And see here what else the angel says. He shall be great. John the Baptist was going to be great in the sight of the Lord. But when he began to describe this one that would be born of her, he could not add great in the sight of the Lord. He was simply great because He's the greatest of all time. There is no one greater. There's no one better. There's no one higher. There was no one that would come and do anything greater than what He done. But it wasn't just His works that were great. It was the fact that His character, the Lord is great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, the Most High God. What else did it say? It said that this man would inherit the throne of David and of his kingdom. Old Balaam, I believe it was, had prophesied that I see a star coming out of Jacob. I see a scepter in his hand. A ruler is going to come that is not going to rule like the rest of the people in the world. He is going to rule. He is going to come and he is going to set up a kingdom that shall never end. Daniel saw that. If you read over in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, if I can find it just for a moment, I want you to hear this promise that God gave in that moment in time. Here's what he said, because it's being fulfilled right here in this moment in history. It says in Daniel 2 and 44, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." If you have been born again and you have recognized this King of love that was willing to step down from heaven and die on a cross with the name of the title above that cross, it says this is the King of the Jews, the kingdom that he came to establish. It shall have no end. In the Greek it says no teleos, which means there is no end to the telescope. It goes on and on and on, and that is good news. God announced that this child would be born into this world and he would be born a king. Every single kingdom that has ever existed in this world has risen and it has fallen. Many of them have risen and they have fallen, and many of them have risen and they have fallen, and the kings have been done away with. But I'll tell you, this king that I worship this morning, he is part of an everlasting kingdom. And I'm grateful this morning that God is willing to translate us out of the kingdom of darkness. Every single one of us, we're walking and groping in blindness, in sin, in deadness of soul. But I tell you, He had the power to translate us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Amen. Even the thief on the cross recognized that Jesus was the King. He had been railing on Jesus. He had had a hard heart. He had been cussing at Jesus. The other man had been cussing at Jesus. And he came to his senses and realized that the one that I speak unto you, the one that said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He was the one. His heart was humble. His heart was meek. They said, "Save yourself and come down from the cross. If you are who you say you are, the King of the Jews." But I tell you, He saved us by staying there on the cross. He saved us, and that was already in view right here in Luke's gospel. This King, I tell you, He was a humble King. He is a humble King, and He was willing to step down from the throne of heaven, and He was willing to be crowned with a crown of thorns so that you and I could experience the mercy of God. He is great. And I tell you, if you don't know Him today, you're missing out on true greatness. If you don't know Him today, if you're not following Him today, you are missing out on a lot of opportunities for true and lasting joy. Thank God that God was willing to send down the King. Mary had a question. She said to the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" This was a really good question, wasn't it? How can this happen since I am a virgin? I'll tell you that creation, the work of creation, was a work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the work of redemption would be the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It says, "The angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. I'm not even going to try to explain the depths of this, but because it's a supernatural work of God.
Amen.
It says, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ would occur in a very powerful way. I can't even describe how a child is formed, and the bones and the things of a child are knit together in its mother's womb. And in particular, I cannot describe how that divinity would be attached to humanity in one body that would be able to be brought into this world, that would be eventually able to live a sinless life and to be able to die an atoning death. But I can tell you by the authority of God's Word, that Jesus, in this case, because He was born of the Virgin Mary, because He was the Son of the Highest, He was holy from start to finish. And that is vitally important for our salvation, because if He had ever, He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. And from the very beginning right here, He did not inherit the sin nature of Adam. It says in an old creed, speaking of His holiness, it says this about Jesus, if I can find it. I'll just leave that off for today. Pray for me. Mary asked this important question, and basically the answer that she got was, "You may not understand, but God is able to do it." I don't understand. I see people lost all around us. I don't understand how God... I can't even fathom how He took my own heart. He had took a heart of stone, a heart that was rebellious toward Him, a heart that wanted to do my own thing. As it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And yet He was able to take this heart, this sinful life, and to save me. There was a power that was at display. This is the work of God. I cannot explain how God works in that invisible realm, in a place in your soul to draw you. But I know He does, because He's done that in me, and I know He's doing more than we see Him doing. I've been preaching for about 2 weeks, and I've been saying, Lord, I just want to see Your work. I want to see some visible results. I've been honest with the Lord. Lord, show me, because I want people to see that You truly do work. And we see here, right here, that God said this is going to happen, and we saw the Lord Jesus come into this world. We see in the Scriptures what He did, and we see that for the last 2,000 years of church history, God has been taking the foolishness of preaching and saving people and building up this kingdom that the world does not understand, and it's permeating all the kingdoms of the world. How do you describe that? I can't describe it other than to say that God is at work in ways that we cannot see, but we need to trust Him. Mary had to trust Him. Even when that baby was being knit together in that womb, she didn't understand all that was going on, but she trusted in the Lord with all of her heart. The Lord gave her a few things just to help her. He said, your cousin Elizabeth, you know her, right? She's been barren all her life. You know what? She is in her sixth month who was barren. And then He makes this great declaration for all of us today. And God would use natural processes to overcome the barriers in Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were up in years. God would overcome the obstacles. But here, God was going, it was going to require a supernatural work for this to be coming about in the life of Mary. But look at what the angel said. Perhaps you're standing before something today and you're saying, I'm trying all the natural things that I can do and it doesn't seem to be working. God, the only way that this is going to get fixed is if you do a supernatural work in the hearts of those around me. That is the only way this is going to work itself out. And I don't know when you're going to do it. I don't know how you're going to do it. But I know that's what's going to take. I got some situations in my life right now that I wish some kind of natural thing would just happen and change it and make all the relationships right. But it's not working. It's going to take a supernatural work of God on human hearts to change the situation. And it says here, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And so, the angel answers Mary. This message has come down from heaven, this good news. Mary was initially afraid of the calling. But because she was startled, what is going on right here? She was trying to grasp in her mind. But you know, God's perfect love, it casts away fear. I'm grateful to know God's love on our hearts and our lives today. And I pray that we will simply respond like Mary did to whatever God wants to do in our lives. Lord, whatever you call me to, whatever you want me to do, Lord, help me to be like Mary. Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Lord, I'm your servant. I'm your servant. I don't understand all that you're doing. You can't grasp all this. The angel told her this. But a lot, some of this stuff is just whoo, way overhead. And I tell you, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And God's ways are higher than our ways. But let us be like Mary right here. She said, Lord, I just want to be your servant. If this is what you've called me to, I want to be willing to serve you. I want to be willing to trust you. I want to be willing even to carry the Son of God, the very one that will be the deliverer. God raised this woman up to do a mighty work. She went on to have other children, contrary to Catholic belief. She had other children. She had four other sons and at least two other daughters. She wasn't a perpetual virgin, but God used her in this moment to bring the deliverer into this world. And I'm so grateful that she was a willing vessel. If you will just be a willing vessel, Lord, use me. And here's what she said. Be it unto me according to thy word. Lord, I am going to trust in your unfailing word. Take my life. Take even my body. She offered her body. Take even my body and use it for your glory and for your honor. I pray that we'll have that same kind of heart today. That was a very intense moment. And it says here, concluding this, the angel departed into heaven. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly when the Son of God entered in, but the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, took on the flesh of humanity, because in the volume of the scroll it is written, Lord, you have prepared for me a body. And Jesus came to do the will of his Father. And that will was to be the Redeemer of the world, the King of all ages. Amen. And so if you know Him and the cross is getting a little heavy, I want you to know He can help you carry it. Just continue to be a willing servant. Say, Lord, here I am. I encourage, if you don't know Him, to seek Him. As we get a song and sing, I pray that the Lord will use those words to be a blessing to you today.